Hey, how's it going, everybody? This is Chris. Welcome to a brand new Lapsed Type show, wherein I'm hoping to reacquaint myself with a property and franchise that used to be quite near and dear to my heart. And if it's not, you know, completely obvious from the cringy and wildly indulgent title of this program, that franchise and property is the Titans. Now, this is going to be similar to the other Lapsed show that I've done, the X-Lapsed show, but far less demanding. There aren't, you know, Skady 800 Titans books coming out a month, so that's a good thing. And also, we're kind of starting out, if this becomes a thing, this might be a one-and-done for all I know. I'm not the most dependable as it pertains to putting out content these days, but if this is to continue or is to become something that I do with any, you know, semblance of regularity, I think we're a lot closer to the ground floor with the Titans than we were with the X-Men, because when we started X-Lapsed, I was like 100 books in the hole. You know, we were way, way, way behind the eight ball, and a lot of story threads had already been revealed, and we were just kind of at a disadvantage. So this will be far less demanding, far less, you know, rigid. It'll just be a for fun thing, like it's, you know, supposed to be. Now, I feel like at this point, I've been away from the Titans just about as long as I was away from the X-Men when we started X-Lapsed. It's been about 3 years. And in 3 years in current year DC time, wow, a lot of stuff happens, and I don't know what's in continuity anymore. I don't know what was never in continuity. I don't know what continuity we're in. In the time I've been away from DC, we've had a couple of crises. We've had the Leviathan stuff going on. We've had Lazarus Pits. We've had Future State and 5G, whatever 5G actually wound up becoming. We had a couple of Dark Knights Metal things. I don't know where we are. And I guess that'll just be part of the fun and or frustration, I guess. We'll just see how it goes. Now, like I said, been away from the Titans for a few years. Been away from Titans and DC since, well, early mid-2020. Now, if you followed my stuff, the blog and other shows, you might know that I changed focus at Chris's on Infinite Earths in May of 2020. I was kind of burned out on DC. You know, I think the fatigue was setting in. I want to say that one of the last current DC books that I had read for the blog was the Flash Forward miniseries, which was where, like, they Dr. Manhattanified Wally West, and that, if you were to read that that series of articles on the website, you'd see my descent into madness and beyond. Like, it got to the point where I was just like, I don't care anymore. You know, I was tapping out. DC won. I was just out. So I had changed focus. May was going to be like Marvel May. It's just going to do 1 month of Marvel Comics reviews just to kind of reignite the fires and just, you know, do something different. You know, change things up, shake things up. And maybe I had planned to go back to DC in June. Maybe it would have been more of a mixture. Maybe I would have broadened the horizons a bit, lifted some of my rigid rules, you know, just would have had more fun with the blog, like, you know, it's supposed to be. But folks who know, in the middle of May, I lost my my good friend and longtime podcasting partner, Reggie. He had passed away, and everything everything changed. You know, comics, talking about comics was just not, it wasn't even in the top, you know, 50 priorities. It was just, didn't seem worthwhile, didn't seem like anything important. Now, at that time, I was only actually reading one contemporary DC comic, and that was Teen Titans. And I was only reading it in order to review it for the Weird Science DC Comics podcast. You see, I'd grown very tired and dissatisfied with pretty much everything else DC was putting out at the time, and I stopped reading. You know, and if I'm being perfectly honest, I would have stopped reading Teen Titans as well if I wasn't reviewing it. After Reggie passed, however, I did stop reviewing it. And that was kind of where I drew a line under DC. You know, I was just done and wasn't planning on ever coming back. And it's weird, you know, in my, you know, comics fandom career, I've said never so many times that I know that you should never say never. You know, you always come back. It's the first time I ever stomped out of a comic shop saying I was done forever. The guy behind the counter says, you know, you're never done. You know, you always come back. And of course he was right. And I mean, here I am. Now, while I stopped reading all my DC stuff, I still bought everything. Because I'm an idiot. And most certainly part of the problem as it pertains to bad comic fans. You know, the ones who complain endlessly about the direction of the industry, yet support the industry every single week. So I was buying it. I just couldn't bring myself to actually read it. If it's not already, you know, abundantly clear, I can be quite the petulant man-child. Though in fairness, around this time, I was kind of busy reading, writing, and recording about, well, those other characters I'd been lapsed on for a few years, and that was a very, very demanding sort of a, it was almost like a discipline I had to, like, learn how to follow the X-Men again. Now, before we move on, I want to address the name of this show, She and Titans, right? Are you kidding me with that stupid crap? Pretty self-indulgent, right? But let me explain. It's a funny story, though maybe not like funny haha, but at least one that caused me to smirk a little bit. You see, a listener to X-Lapsed from, I want to say Connecticut, reached out probably a handful of months ago, less than a year ago, wrote to me to let me know that there was a Sheehan High School out their way. And I'm like, oh, that's pretty cool. Then he said that their team name was the Titans. And the listener even sent me like pics of like a school jersey and a ball cap and wanted to know my size so they could send me a shirt. I turned down the offer. I feel weird about that kind of stuff, but it was a very, very sweet offer. The team name, though, it stuck with me. You know, Sheen Titans. It kind of sounds like Teen Titans. Or is that just me? I don't know. In any event, I kind of logged it away. Never for a moment considered that I'd ever brush up against the Titans again. I saw it more as a missed opportunity. It's like, ah, you know, if I did something with the Titans, that would be a cute name to use. A cute, self-indulgent, kind of cringy name to use. So I never thought I'd be discussing the Titans again, at least not in any sort of, like, fake-ass creative project like this. But hey, here we are. Though I do gotta say, I wonder how many people are gonna say, what in the hell is a Sheehan Titan? Well, if nothing else, maybe it'll help people pronounce my name the way I pronounce my name. Who knows? Anyway, we're gonna give it the old college try here, and hopefully, at the end of the day here, I can find myself reacquainted with these characters that I've enjoyed and honestly missed for such a long time. Going back a couple months ago, probably, I was talking about the Titans with a friend of mine who I can't remember. I apologize. I don't talk to very many people. I talk to very, very few people. So the fact that I don't remember is, I don't know, troubling, I suppose. I mentioned, you know, in passing, that I missed the Titans and how it bugged me that every single time DC would bring them back, they would try to reinvent the wheel instead of just leaning into what I'd say originally worked with them. But by originally worked, I'd say what like worked in the 80s when Marv and George kind of reinvented the wheel on the team. So maybe that's a little bit of a hypocritical statement on my part, but I just feel like the Marvin George approach was timeless, you know? It's what so many of us seasoned fans like, and I think it's something that new fans would like as well. It's just a really, really fun approach to superhero comics, just the soapiness. It's, like I said, it's timeless. It works. Anyway, I was informed that at that very moment, as we were having this discussion, that the Nightwing book had just become, or was just about to become, a de facto Titans book. And, you know, I kind of filed it away, made a mental note, and thought, maybe I'd check it out, you know, if I remembered, and if I had a few extra bucks burning a hole in my pocket during my next shop visit. And, well, I did, and I did, and I did. During a free comic book day weekend, I lucked into a buck a book sale, so I was able to pick up issues 100 through 103 for a buck a piece, so can't ask for much more of a screaming deal than that, right? Now, for this project, if it is to become a project, I feel like this is going to be far less ambitious and far less ambitiously stupid than the X-Lapsed project. Mostly because there's, you know, barely a fraction of the books to cover here on a regular basis. Now, the X-Men line of books has basically become an imprint. And it's an imprint of books that don't even appear to have a shred of guidance between them all. I've said this before towards the end of the X-Lapsed run, it's quantity over quality, and very little in the way of quality control. Too many books, too many creators, too many editors, and nobody on the same page. And it was just, it was quite frustrating. So I'm hoping that our Titans editorial team, I don't know, maybe shows up for work a couple times a month, right? So we can maybe keep things straight. Now, I debated and even wrote a little bit about making this like a, you know, Chris and the Titans 101 sort of show, where I would share with you all my life and times as a Titans fan, but, you know, I decided against it. I mean, I can barely stand the sound of my own voice at this point, but I also figure we're going to be, you know, brushing up against my fandom as we proceed through the program. And, I mean, that is, of course, if we proceed, you know. Like I said, my track record of late has been, lackluster at best, so one day at a time. Of course, as always, I would love to hear about, you know, anybody who's listening's fandom, and how you are receiving this 2023 take on the Titans, so please let me know. I mean, even if this show doesn't become, you know, a thing that I do or keep up with, I'd really enjoy, you know, chopping it up about Titans with you, so definitely consider reaching out if you want to, you know, talk Titans a bit. Now, with all that said, let's get started by hopping into, well, not the feature book. Today's feature book is Nightwing 101. First, we're going to have to lay some groundwork here. We're going to have to check in with the epilogue portion of the issue before it, which would be the milestone Nightwing number 100, which, can you even believe that a current year book is reaching the triple digits? Huh, I didn't think we did that anymore. Now, full disclosure, I haven't read the lead-up to Nightwing number 100, and this pays off a battle between Dick and a new baddie called Heartless, I think. I really can't speak to it. I really can't speak to this Heartless character either, other than to say he looks kind of generic, and I'd bet his primary purpose for existing is so speculators could hoard his first appearance and send it off to be 9.6-ified. Okay, I apologize. I'll try to rein in my current year comic cynicism. It's kind of just second nature at this point, isn't it? Anyway, in the book, Dick and the Titans fight off Heartless and his goons, thus saving Bloodhaven. I gotta get used to the alt code for the umlauts over the U. Now, as the dust settles, Nightwing is approached by Superman and Wonder Woman, and he's invited over to the ruins of the Hall of Justice so they might make him an offer. Now, our hero initially assumes that he's going to be invited to join the Justice League, but, well, that's not quite it at all. Now, this story is happening in the shadow of Dark Crisis, of which I am completely ignorant. Even more ignorant than usual, that is. All that I know that happened in Dark Crisis is that, well, it happened, and also that because of it, the Justice League are no more. So, Superman and Wonder Woman tell Dick that what they have in mind for him is bigger. They believe that our man is capable of more. Superman cites Nightwing's leadership qualities, specifically pointing out what he'd done during Dark Crisis, which again, I don't know nothing about no Dark Crisis yet. I mean, maybe if this project pans out, I'll work my way backwards to educate myself, but no promises. Anyway, they pretty much tell Nightwing that they want him to lead a team and, well, basically guard the planet while the Justice League is kaput. It's a mighty big ask, and so Dick's got to think about it. And, well, think about it he does, with Batman, as they're stood before the grave of Alfred. Wait a second. Alfred's dead? Huh. How about that? What do we give it, like 6 months? Yeah, I admit, I'm talking out my ass right now. For all I know, Alfred's been dead since... Man, when was the last time I read an issue of Batman? Scott Snyder's run? Ugh. So yeah, I mean, for all I know, Alfred's been dead since then. Anyway, Dick and Bruce have a genuinely touching discussion, the likes of which I haven't read in quite some time. It's a very, very well-done bit of business here between Bruce and Dick. Now, Bruce tells Dick that he'll be there to support him, you know, whatever he needs. And so, we jump ahead a day later back in Bloodhaven. Bluthaven, how are we saying that? I don't know. Dick is joined by Barbara, his three-legged dog, and a young woman who has his same haircut. I don't know her, but I think it might be his sister. Not sure if it's by blood or not. I suppose only their hairdresser knows for sure. Well, I guess their hairdresser and anybody who's not bat-lapsed, right? Anyway, Dick reveals that he's going to purchase a prison and use it as a symbol. And Dick's three-legged dog might also be missing an eye. It's called Bitewing, by the way. From here, we jump to a month later where Nightwing is holding court at a press conference. He reveals to the people of Bloodhaven, Bluthaven, that it's time for new guardians. Thankfully not those new guardians. It's actually time for the Titans. And we close out on stage where we see our Titanic lineup, which includes Starfire, Flash, Cyborg, Nightwing, Donna Troy, Beast Boy, and Raven. Okay, so the table is set. We can finally get into today's feature issue, which is Nightwing Volume 4, Number 101, which had an April 2023 cover date. Story is called Rise of the Underworld, written by Tom Taylor with art by Travis Moore. Colors Adriano Lucas, letters Wes Abbott, edits Burby Chen and Abernathy. Cover price $5. This one went on sale February 21 of 2023. Now, our story opens in the depths of hell, which I think is exactly 5 miles west of Parts Unknown, just south of BFE. Here, our old Underworld Unleashed pal Neron is addressing some very Despero-ish demons about his ongoing beef with Nightwing. He laments the fact that, should he unleash an all-out Underworld assault on our hero, well, that it might stand to reason that Dick would turn to one of his Titans pals for help. That pal, of course, is Raven, who, in case you're unaware, Raven is the daughter of Trigon the Terrible. Wow, we made it a whole 3 pages before that reminder. Something tells me we're going to get that reminder a lot, because unfortunately that's basically like the entirety of Raven's character for most writers, is that she is the daughter of Trigon the Terrible. I don't know, hopefully Mr. Taylor has more in store for Raven. From here, we shift scenes over to the Kingdom of Vlatava, where Neron is seeking an audience with their king, Unnamed the First. Only it's actually not King Unnamed, it's a new character, who we're going to learn is called the Grinning Man. Now, the Grinning Man's a shapeshifter. He's assumed the form of the Vlatavian monarch. And like I said, it's kind of a clayface gimmick, shapeshifter doing the hoodoo. Nothing we haven't seen like 1,001 times before, but we'll let it play out. Now, Neron tells the Grinning King that he needs a favor. Or rather, that he's calling in on a favor owed. Now, I'm guessing maybe Neron has blessed the Grinner with his abilities, or at the very least, amplification of those abilities? Maybe? Don't know. In any event, the favor in question has to do with reclaiming a soul. Now, this is the soul of a young girl named Olivia Desmond, daughter of Roland Desmond, Blockbuster. Now, a handful of issues ago, Blockbuster made a soul exchange with Neron, his daughter's soul for some sort of amplified powers or something like that. I'm assuming that the soul situation is going to be the primary focus of this arc, but we'll get there as we get there. Now, speaking of Olivia, how about we head over to Bloodhaven, Bluthaven, and meet her? Now, We join Olivia, who's in the middle of some make-believe play with a pair of titans. Those titans are Beast Boy and Raven. And it's a pretty neat scene. It shows our heroes as a caring bunch here. They actually seem like they like each other, like they like humans. You know, it's been a while since I've read Titans. So last time I checked in with any of these characters, they were churlish, social media obsessed a-holes who barely seemed able to tolerate one another. So this is definitely refreshing. Now, like I mentioned at the top, this is a lapsed type thing. So the heart of this project is me kind of reconciling who and what these characters are, while also attempting to answer the paraphrased question from the theme song, which is, how did we get here? You know, this take on Raven and Gar feels both new and very familiar, which I will concede is not the most erudite sort of observation. You know, the last time I spent any time with them, they were portrayed as far younger, and in the case of Logan, far, far, far less mature. Now it's here where I begin to question what bits and pieces of the semi-recent lore that we're keeping, and which bits, if any, we're just flushing. You know, these characters that I'm reading right now don't really jive with the Teen Titans that I read a few years ago. But they do feel far more right than they have in many, many years. At least, of course, in my limited experience. Anyway, back to the scene. Olivia is pretending to be some sort of a warrior, fighting off the foul sorceress Raven, with the aid of Beast Boy, who's taken the form of a bright green unicorn. It's a very cute scene. I like it a lot. Moments later, our titular hero arrives with his three-legged, possibly one-eyed dog, Bitewing. Speaking of one-eyed, Beast Boy appears to be wearing an eye patch. Well, he doesn't appear to be wearing one. He's wearing one. Beast Boy has an eye patch. Maybe he got confused and thought that this was going to be a Marvel Now relaunch. I seem to remember an odd amount of eye patch wearers during that, though. I suppose I might be misremembering. Anyway, Olivia asks if Bitewing can still talk, which is a callback to Nightwing number 98, wherein Dick's fifth-dimensional imp, Nightmite, showed up to do some hoodoo. Now, I did read that issue because it had a really, really cool cover, and it just, like, demanded to be read. And I tell you, it was far more fun than it probably should have been. It was a really, really good time. Dick's not here to socialize, however, and he pulls Raven off to the side to chat her up about a dire discovery at the ruins of Titans Academy, which is an entire series that I paid for and own, but have never once cracked a single issue of it open. Again, I mean, if this silly little project pans out, maybe I'll work my way backwards and we'll check out some Titans Academy stuff. Who knows? Anyway, this discovery was of a corpse. From here, we zip over to New York City to check out the rubble. Now, Dick and one of New York's finest discuss the logistics of exhuming a corpse from the wreckage. Starfire, however, doesn't care to wait around for a decision to be made, and so, well, she just does the thing. She lifts a great big clod of destroyed building out of the ground. And with that wreckage removed, we can see that the body below belonged to the King of Latava, unnamed the First. Not a moment later, Amanda Waller shows up on the scene, looking a lot like her old self, which she ain't super thin anymore. Was that ever explained, or are we just pretending that the New 52 never happened? That's not a rhetorical question. I'd really like to know. In any event, she comes over and she's kind of a dick to Dick. We jump to a little later in the day where Nightwing is confabbing with a Vlatavian coroner who can't help but to wear a ridiculously creepy smile the entire time. Now, Dick finds this weird and off-putting, as he likely should. The coroner just says that she's tickled by the mystery of it all. Now, you see, the king was seen just 2 days ago in Vlatava, but, well, this here corpse has been dead for weeks. So what's up with that? Anyway, Dick makes the mistake of turning his back to this creepy grinning woman and gets thudded in the back of the dome with some sort of metal apparatus. Now, the coroner was, in fact, the grinning man, who now takes the form of our Mr. Grayson. We wrap up the issue with the grinning Dick, rejoining Starfire and Raven, and together the three of them boom tube back to Bloodhaven, Bludhaven. And that is that. Well, there is a backup story here, but I ain't all that interested in covering it. Actually, I'm not at all interested. There's no Titan stuff there, so we have nothing to worry about as far as the Titans deal goes. But never been a big fan of backups, and though I do appreciate DC trying to give a little bit of extra value for a $5 book, I'd be happier doing without if you chop a buck off the price. So that is that. How about we talk about it? And I suppose I could start out with the trite and overused line of they say absence makes the heart grow fonder. And since I've been away from the Titans for such a long time, I'm guessing I might not be able to provide the most unbiased opinion regarding this issue, because I really quite liked it. And I can't say for sure that that's an indication of quality, or just me really, really missing and wanting to read new Titans stuff. You know, it's a toughie. It gave me what I wanted in a current year Titans book that didn't make me want to hurl the thing across the room halfway through it, which is good. It didn't quite bring me back to the glory days of the new Teen Titans. However, it did do a lot to give me a bit of confidence in the direction we're headed. You know, maybe we have some glory days ahead. I guess we'll find out. Now, you know, when it comes to the Titans, when it comes to any of their properties, DC Comics seems to want to, for lack of a better term, withhold the good stuff. While other times they kind of overgive. I mean, does that make sense? Titans fans, right? I don't want to speak for everybody, but in my admittedly narrow experience, Titans fans are not the toughest bunch to please. We pretty much just want the Titans. And I feel like, since around Rebirth or so, DC has been giving us teases. Though if I stop and think about it, perhaps taunts is a better descriptor. But they give us these teases or taunts about how the Titans are going to be depicted moving forward. And we get like flashes of like the good stuff, in my opinion, of course. We get just enough of that good stuff to give us hope that A, DC's got a plan, and B, that there's something really good about to come down the pike. And then it seems like every single time, again, in my opinion and experience, they absolutely fumble it. I honestly feel like it's been that way since about Flashpoint. Now, the last time that I felt that DC Comics had a plan for the Titans, teen or otherwise, was during the J.T. Krull and Nicola Scott run back in 2011. It had tons of history, continuity, and baggage, but still felt new and progressive. It felt, it just felt right. It wasn't perfect, nothing is, but it felt right. Now back to the present, this is a take on the Titans. We're only one issue in, and it's a Nightwing issue, it's not even a Titans issue. But for me, it appears that this is a take on the Titans that thankfully doesn't seem to be trying to reinvent any wheels, because it doesn't have to. Now, of course, I am a bit sketchy on what's what, and how the characters I've read during the tail end of the New 52 and the first year or two of Rebirth have grown and become what they've become here, and how much of the 2011 through 2016 stuff is still even on the table as far as continuity is concerned, but I'm here for it. Reading this issue felt a lot like the first day back at school, which I think was the same way I described my return to the X-Men comics back in the early days of X-Lapsed. It's like you're reunited with old friends you haven't seen in a little while. There's a certain amount of comfort, balanced with a strange, semi-uncomfortable novelty. It's familiar but new, which is what I think Titans fans want. It's good stuff. Definitely good enough for me to want to come back for more, which, can you give a better compliment to a comic book, wanting more of it? I don't think so. Now, we'll talk more about our Titans pals as we work our way through this pre-launch arc, if this becomes a thing. I don't want to dive too deep into speculation just yet. Plus, I want to save some discussion for the next handful of episodes. Maybe we'll shift the discussion into a little dip into our new baddie here, the Grinning Man. And like I said during the synopsis, is nothing we haven't already seen like 100 times before. Not the biggest deal, as he's going to help us push the story forward. But again, it's very much been there, done that vibe with a shape-shifting bad guy. Perhaps his connection with Neron, whatever that might be, will make him more worthwhile. And I might be denser than most, but I'm assuming Neron pulled the old soul swap for powers here. Was that made clear here, or am I just speculating? I don't know. Like I said, I'm pretty dense. Let's chat up our creative team just a little bit here. Tom Taylor, he's a writer that I'm not too familiar with. I've heard his name, I'm sure I've read some of his work, I just don't know a whole heck of a lot about him. So I don't come into this with exceptionally high or low expectations. What little I do know about him, he seems like he's a pretty cool guy. Okay, I didn't want to bring it up, but he did write that bit with a Nightcrawler eating a mustard and bigotry-topped hot dog over an X-Men Red Annual number one, which is about enough to make your skin crawl, but everybody has an off day, right? Now, a lot of what I know about him as a writer comes from a really good friend of mine, Dave, who's a huge Tom Taylor booster, and that's usually enough for me. You know, if a good friend of mine whose opinion I trust and value says something good about a writer, I'm usually going to jump in. And that was actually enough for me to buy every single issue of Son of Kal-El to support him, even though I haven't read any of it. And yeah, you heard that right. I bought every issue of Son of Kal-El, not just the one issue that everybody bought. I bought all of them. Now, he is going to be writing the Titans book that we'll look at after this four-part Nightwing arc, so that's pretty cool. He seems to have a good handle on the characters, at least one issue in, right? I mean, I don't want to be overly optimistic, but optimism's not a bad thing. I'm so used to being negative of late. It's refreshing to be optimistic. Now, better yet, we got Tom Taylor writing it. He's going to be joined by the aforementioned Nicola Scott on art, who is almost unreal. A ridiculously talented artist. I'm really, really looking forward to it. I know that's not to sell the art here short either. It was pretty wonderful as well. It's kind of light and airy feel to the art, if that makes any sense. I feel like it really suited the story well. I liked it quite a bit. Now, overall, I mean, I liked this issue a lot. Again, this might be a case of absence making this normally cynical heart grow fonder. It might have just been that it's a really fun book. It might just be a little bit of both. Now, it served as a sweet little taste of what a current year Titan story could and should look and feel like. It's not trying too hard to evoke teen or young person. And it's not a team of churlish brats staring at their phones and constantly threatening to quit the team. So we get all the fun and none of the cringe. And I tell you what, if you're a Titans fan or if you're Titans curious, I highly recommend you check it out. Now that's going to do it for this first and possibly only episode of this program. I guess we'll play it by ear and go day by day and see how it goes. In any event, I hope you enjoyed it, and hopefully I will be talking to you again real soon. See ya. So